Greetings, lovely humans, and welcome to Embark. I'm Liz Solar. Today, Jack Monson and I talk about how to have better conversations over the holiday dinner table. You know how awkward that can get. We'll mix in a little bit of controversy, a little bit of policy politics, and boom, somebody's leaving the table early. We don't want you to miss out on dessert, so let's come up with some better ways to have conversation over the dinner table. First, do you remember in an English literature class or while you were learning grammar, if you learned grammar, the expression in medias res? It's Latin for in the middle of things. In the middle of things is where we're going to start today's episode. Thanks for listening.
People still have to be muted when they join a call because they have noise happening, children screaming, dogs barking, horns honking, and it's like, Karen, could you mute your microphone, please? Oh, yeah, sorry about that. Oh, I'm sorry. Like, yeah, we do this 6 times a day. Could you mute your microphone, please? Oh, yeah. Oh, I forgot.
Right. Someone always has to be prompted. And love the use of Karen as the offender. In my family, there are people who are just like, how should I say, inappropriate? It's like, you might want to mute because you're flushing that toilet and I don't need to be a party to that. I mean, that is just awkward and tense. And isn't that the whole point today on Embark with Jack right. and Liz? And we're talking about, I mean, talk about tense and awkward. That's your family dinner during the holidays.
Right. That's it's been that way for years. And somehow over the past few years, we've added politics and policy, and let's talk about all of the things that we aren't supposed to talk about in polite society. But I guess it's your family, so you can say
There's nothing polite about family at times. And you know what? We made a point. Let's have people talk, make nice with family members on big holiday occasions, big dinners, because we don't want to offend anybody. But isn't that the point of getting together with family? I mean, aren't we just hardwired to do that?
Right. What family are you from? The Brady Bunch? Like, that's not most families I know.
One of my favorites, and it was a meme, I think before it was a meme, it was simply a cartoon, and it was one of those Far Side cartoons. And there's this huge banner in an auditorium, and it says, you know, Conference for Functional Families. And there are rows and rows and rows of chairs, and sitting in the front row are two people. And save for those two people, it's an empty auditorium. So I think that says everything about functional families.
Yeah, it's a good time to get together and take a gauge on what else is happening in the world that maybe you're not experiencing yourself. And I guess the last few years have really stood out to me as a lot of families struggle with, don't bring up politics, don't bring up politics. But maybe it's always been that way, right? Were people in the 1940s debating getting into World War II over the holiday table? They probably were, right? Were they talking about DR versus whomever? They probably were. You know, where else were they going to talk about that outside of, you know, down at the old watering hole? So maybe it isn't that much of a new thing, but like so much in our society now, it's not really new. It's just that we're all sharing the same experiences on social media. So suddenly it's turned into a thing where in the past, people probably thought, well, that's only my family that argues politics at the holiday table. No one else does that, surely.
Well, you know, it's worse than arguing about things at the table is not saying anything at all. I don't want to be in that family that doesn't talk. You know, it's silence. Like all you can hear is like the cutlery hitting the plate. That's not fun.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a little bit more my family, my extended family. And mostly what you hear is my eyes rolling into the back of my head every time I hear something ridiculous. And I'm like, you know what? Not worth it. I'm just going to smile and nod and, you know, pass me some more turkey.
So in your family, are you the peacemaker? Are you the one who just says this is a bridge too far and I'm just going to be the observer? Like, what is your role?
A little bit more the observer in that it's just not worth it to me anymore. I can you know, go down my rabbit hole of political arguments on whatever platform you want to talk about. And I just don't care to lose Thanksgiving or Christmas or whatever holiday over that, over somebody's ridiculous notions of, you know, insert subject. It's like, it's just not worth it to me anymore. You know, maybe 20 years ago, I probably would have been up on my soapbox a little bit more and not understanding why on earth these people don't understand. But it's just not worth it to me anymore. And I just want to, I won't say avoid it. I kind of just don't want to hear it, you know? I think the other thing about families and people talking about politics and economics and the state of the economy and the recession and what's going to happen next year is I value all of these folks as people. I don't necessarily value their opinion. I'm not here to talk about economics or, you know, what's going to happen in the job market or where the recession is going to take us next year. I'm really here for Thanksgiving or Christmas or whatever holiday it is.
I know. And as much as I think, you know, and it's so divisive right now, the atmosphere is so divisive. And even if you agree on 95%, people still want to fight over that 5% of turf.
Find that 5%. Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm not sure why, but controversial subjects are going to just come up. I think it's an inevitability. I think it's always been an inevitability. The amount of time that we devote to it, I think, has increased.
Yeah.
Perhaps there were, and I think in the end, it's always like two people or three people who are at the root of like it operatic. They're just fighting and going crazy and going at each other and making their point, and everybody else has got their heads down trying to finish dessert. So what is that about? There's this 2018 study in Science that found having a Thanksgiving meal with people who have different political views than you do, it cuts short your dinner by half an hour, which means that you would rather skip apple pie than sit there and listen to one more or be party to more than one more. And I'm of the, you know, life is short, eat dessert first. So I hate to hear that anybody would bypass that because of someone else's opinion. So what's your take on it? Because I feel like we owe it to our listening public. We're not psychologists, but we play one on our podcast.
Right.
Or we play them on our podcast. So what are some good tips from your own experience and maybe what you're hearing to help them get through that day that can be really challenging?
Maybe we're at the point where we can talk about other things that obviously people are going to, you know, flock to one side or the other, and maybe it won't be the same old arguments that we've had for the past 8 years or 6 years or something like that. I was thinking that maybe if somebody really wants to, you know, get under your skin and get going, I would be fascinated to learn from anybody at the table on where they stand on what's going on with Twitter. And instead of talking about politicians and presidential candidates and senators, throw out the name Elon Musk. See how quickly the room clears. But also, you know, you could actually have an interesting conversation about, you know, all of the things I'm interested in, social media, digital marketing, politics, without really getting into talking about Joe Biden and Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton and all of the people who've made all of our meals for the past decade miserable.
Thank you very much for that.
Maybe we talk about Elon Musk, or maybe there are some other non-politicians who are in the news right now or top of mind. And maybe we could throw some of those names out. And that would let everybody, you know, kind of have their say on, oh, I think he's a jerk, or, oh, I think he's brilliant, or whatever, without really getting down into the, you know, let's all go vote for this person conversation, which is where it always ends up. So maybe sort of diverting the overtly political conversation and going down another area of Elon Musk and other characters like him. That's maybe a way to start.
That's a good thing. And maybe there's like a pre-ritual. We like to call it pre-gaming. But in our family, it's like you have that cocktail before you go out and like really drink.
Yeah.
So, you know, getting together with family members, and we can love our family and still not like some of the individuals in our family. And we have history with those people. And sometimes that history isn't as lovely as we'd like to think, or that we feel other people's families are. So we're already going in with a bit of an attitude. And maybe we just need an attitude adjustment before we go in thinking, okay, I don't like what they're doing, or I don't like them, but I love them and we come from the same place. And surely there must be some things that we can agree on, but we're already going in with prejudices about some of the people in the group. I don't like them for whatever reason. I don't like the way they look. Could be ridiculous things, but we hold on to those things, or that old Smothers Brothers, you know, mom always liked you best. You know, people go in with a certain amount of competition and often rage. So do you have any pre-game rituals that you perform to kind of get you in the mindset, I love these people?
You know, what you just said about we come from the same place, or we come from the same family or whatever, I think that's the key. I think focus on that first. Then if you're focused on remembering that these are the people who maybe had your back at some point when you needed some help, or maybe you went through a common childhood trauma together, or, you know, some other disaster together, or, you know, and by disaster, I mean things like high school, right? Maybe focus on areas that you are similar and you have that common ground. And then if somebody does throw out something political or you know, something about the economy later on during the dinner, you will have started from a standpoint of we are part of the same tribe. And I think that's where you and I often end up in these conversations, is if you can remember that you're part of the same team, or you're part of the same human race or whatever to start with, then if you do find some differences down the road, it turns into that, you know, yeah, we're different about this, but right, we're from the same group and we're all looking for the same outcome, and we all want each other to be happy. It's that old idea of, I didn't know one of my oldest friends was so different than me politically, but it's okay because he's cool, right? Because he's my old friend. Whereas if I met him today, I would think he's a lunatic. But you have that history, that common ground, and I think the pregame should focus on that history and common ground. And then I think it's a lot easier to just kind of laugh off the differences in where we are politically down the road.
Well, one thing I notice, I think it's a human nature thing, but I find myself sometimes falling into this trap. Two people I know can do the exact same thing. And let's take it, and I don't know anybody in this type of frailty at this point, but say two people are cheating on their spouse. If it's someone I don't like, I'm like, of course, because they can't commit and they're narcissists and all of that, right? Then the other person's like, well, I'm sure they had their reasons.
Right.
That person
it's,
that they're
it's the spouse's
with can
fault.
Be difficult.
Sure. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So we often have these prejudices about people that we don't like. So no matter what they do, they give money to charity. Well, I'm sure they had an ulterior motive. It's like, wait a minute, they just gave money to charity. What? Right. But we do that. And we do that with celebrities. We do that with people who are in the limelight. We'll say everything is transactional for them. It's like, wait a minute, can you just take a look at this and say, yeah, maybe that's true, but perhaps we can't discount the fact that they did something good. But
right.
We do that. We do that in our family sometimes too. It's really kind of nauseating.
Yeah. It ranks up there with, it all goes back to politics, right? If somebody on your side does something that is maybe something you wish they wouldn't have, you find a way to work around it, right? And if somebody on the other side does something good, whether it's a policy decision or, you know, they actually helped someone who you wanted to see helped, you immediately go to that, you know, well, it was just a PR opportunity.
Right. And, you know, you say it goes back to the political, but doesn't the political just go back to the personal, what we believe, what is really personal to us, to our own experiences? So even when people say, well, if you present them with facts, and facts do not matter, facts do not sway people in the least, because, you know, we also have our own set of facts now, too. So you pull out your fact, I'll pull out my fact, and it's I am rubber, you are glue.
Yeah.
It becomes this ridiculous game. Instead of trying to persuade people with our facts, maybe, and we've been talking about this for some time, asking people, coming to them with curiosity, huh, that's interesting. You know, what makes you believe that? Or tell me about your experience with that. We kind of shoot first and ask questions later. So that discussion doesn't really happen. We just shut down any type of discourse before people even have a chance to explain themselves. So how do we do that? How do we do that better?
I think it's exactly what you just said. We ask them, because what's not happening in any of these conversations is any kind of active listening. It's all waiting for my turn to respond. Oh, you brought up that policy. Oh boy, I've got a zinger. Just wait. I'm waiting till you finish your sentence and then I'm going to pounce, right? That's how people listen now. So I think actually asking, why do you think that that was a good political decision? Or why do you think this law would help whomever? I'm curious. I'm legitimately curious on why you think that way. And that'll do two things. One, it will make the person feel heard. And let's face it, that's all we want, right? We want to think someone's actually listening. So it will make them feel heard, and maybe that will help that bond between you and that person. At the same time, it will allow you to figure out, do they really care about this topic, or is this some talking points that were sent down from whatever political party? You know, is this something that was in a White House memo somewhere, and I'm just reading bullet point number 3, 4, and 5, and it's something I heard on cable news, you know? Or is it something they actually care about and they want to explain their side? If somebody really genuinely wants to explain their side of an argument, I'm all ears. I'm all for hearing it. You're not going to probably change my opinion, but you could. It's possible, right? Again, part of the definition of active listening is listening with the openness of changing your opinion. If I'm never going to change my opinion and I already know more about this than you, then let's not waste our time. But actually asking them to explain and being open to, you know, getting new information, I think that could help.
Right. And understanding that you may not change their mind. They may not change your mind. You're going to stand strongly in what you already believe, but at least, okay, but now we know we can have a conversation. And now we're done with that. Let's talk about something else. Thinking about walking in with maybe, you know, either a conversation starter or a way to change the subject when things get hot. We're not just all about politics or what we believe about policy. It's, oh, you're taking this trip. You like to travel. Or, hey, I know that you really love to cook. Is there something that's a specialty of yours? Or, hey, you made this great thing. Tell me how you made it. So,
yeah.
Or I see that you've just taken up pickleball. What's that about? So surely we're doing more than being involved in a political conversation. And every once in a while, I need to remind myself. You have an interest. Let's talk about that, because people love to talk about themselves and what their passions are.
Yeah. Could it be that so many people are so programmed by the media and political parties and the establishment to take everything into the direction of politics, right? So if someone brings up pickleball, like, wait a minute, is my tribe for or against pickleball? Where do we stand on pickleball? Hold on, I have to Google that really quick. You know, we have politicized, and you and I have talked about this before, we have politicized sports. We have politicized weather. We have politicized things in the entertainment sphere. And that didn't happen, at least to this extent, 30 or 40 years ago, right? I was listening to a podcast recently with Jay Leno, and he and some other comedians were talking about politics in comedy. And Leno made the comment, he was a protege and a big fan of Rodney Dangerfield, kind of a mentor Rodney Dangerfield was. And he said, you know, what's funny is I knew Rodney Dangerfield for 40 years, and I have no idea how he voted. Not whatsoever. Never talked about it, never mentioned it. Did not want that to be part of his repertoire when it came to, you know, what he was talking about on stage. And people who knew him best have no idea what side of the political aisle he was on. Could you imagine that now? We know every nook and cranny of someone's political history and, you know, what they believe about this thing and that thing, because everyone wears it on their sleeve, right? There are no comedians now who we don't know exactly where they stand on all of the big issues. So,
well, because they'll have podcasts too.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, and I'm okay with knowing that about somebody, but surely there's more to you than that. And part of these conversations is the competitive nature. I'm going to win this discussion. I'm going to win this fight.
Yeah.
I say, bring out Twister.
Yeah. Yeah. You've got a better chance of beating me at Twister than you do talking about the economy right now. So yeah, please bring out Twister.
Get the card game out. You know, speaking of politicians, you know, the Kennedys, do you think that they were sitting around talking policy if they could play some football out in the back lawn? I mean,
right.
So
right.
Many people do find that, you know, within families, there's a pecking order. So who's going to be the person who's out front? Put that to good use. Get out Parcheesi, you know, get out a chess set, find a way to change the conversation or do something like Cards Against Humanity is a very good way to know your loved ones better and just be raucous at the same time.
Yeah, I think a good board game, you know, hopefully some of the kids will get a game on Christmas that you can pull out and everybody starts playing. And I
Absolutely.
Think too, don't you want the memories that those kids have 20 years from now to be of when we played that cool new game that so-and-so got us, and not when we were discussing, you know, foreign policy at the dinner table, right? Like, I think we have to go into this with the mindset of let's make some memories. Let's not open old wounds. Right. So, yeah, I mean, having a little bit of a plan might be a good idea.
And maybe bringing up a memory, you know, we love nostalgia, and as long as we don't romanticize too much, but you know, surely there are times that you can remember with your family and, you know, extended loved ones, like, hey, we did some crazy stuff as kids. And,
yeah. Yeah.
You know, generally there's like a horrified parent, like, oh, really? That was really going on? I had no idea. It's like, yeah, well.
Yeah, there's always that that little extra information that comes out. You did what? Wait, you said you were at a friend's house.
Yeah, which brings you to, oh, there were times when we worked together, even if it's to drive our parents crazy. and it wasn't just about this political thing or this social thing or this, you know, I find sometimes people that the thing that they bring up at family dinners is how well everybody's doing. It's like those old cards that people used to send where they're talking about how awesome everybody's doing. And
oh, yeah,
I have a sick, twisted mind. So I read between the lines, and the subtext is always, you know,
right.
They have this great job. I'm like pole dancer.
We took our annual vacation to Martha's Vineyard. Like, oh, couldn't afford Paris this year, could you?
Oh, see, we can get very catty, which is why we have to check ourselves before we go to family dinners.
Yeah, and maybe part of that pre-gaming is get together with one or two people, and because I think this is what a real pre-game is, at least in the corporate world. Get together with one or two people and just get it out. Have a little catharsis and just let loose, get it out of your system, and then, you know, put down the wine glass and go into dinner.
And this is going to sound counterintuitive, but my husband and I over the years have decided that when we go to, and sometimes an extended family trip to someone else's house, and it's a, you're there for a couple of days, and we've had to referee, like, they were mom and dad, and they weren't. They were just our brother and sister-in-law.
It's yeah, like, okay. Yeah.
Now I'm being brought into a fight that I don't want to be a part of. So it's not even about engaging us in a fight anymore. It's engaging us in their fight. Yeah. Whose side are you going to be on? So our mantra has been low expectations. Going in there not expecting perfection and saying, you know what? We're going to hope that it goes well and expect for there to be some really messed up stuff that we're going to witness. And I have to say that has worked for us. We're like, you know, that was pretty good.
Yeah. You know, if it works, do it. And I think part of my plan is low expectations and keep it short. If you can get away with, you know, a couple of hours here and a couple of hours there, great. I think the last thing you want, especially if there is some, you know, political discussion or, you know, other issues at the table, is to be stuck somewhere with these same people for 2 or 3 days, right? I rule number one in my life, I don't stay with relatives overnight. Nope, don't do it anymore. Why? You can have your own place to stay. There are these wonderful things called the Marriott. And
a magical place.
It's a magical place called the Marriott. And you can always say, great, what time's brunch? I'll see you tomorrow, right? And you don't have to be with people 24 hours a day.
I think it's unhealthy, personally, for adults to live together after a certain age. I'm thinking 23, 24, 25.
Yeah.
You're done. Unless you are legally obliged to live with that person, then you're better
and
off.
And even like, then, it might not work out so well.
Right? Sometimes a little vacation is good. It's very good for the relationship. So what do you plan to do? Oh, and one more thing that I do. When things are getting really hot, and this is particular to my personality, when things are getting too hot, hold that thought. I'll be back. And I take a walk.
A walk is really good.
Take a walk. It's a pause. It's like, I'm not leaving. I'm not avoiding you, but I need to get my head together. And that way I don't say anything that I really don't want to say that I'm going to feel badly about later or regret. It's like counting to 10 a few times. Then I'm back. It's good. Fresh air. If it's pouring rain, you've got to find like a room to go into. You know, the old days, mama needs a time out. So what do you plan to do? Are you hosting? Are you going to relatives? I go to relatives.
And the beautiful thing about that is I have some wonderful relatives that take care of the hosting duties, which allows me to blow in and blow out, right? Like it's, we'll be there at 2 o'clock and I'm out the door at 5, right? So, I hope I'm not painting a picture of anyone being horrible or anything, but maybe keeping things short keeps everyone from being horrible or anything, right? Like there's no reason to have the 24-hour stay, like you said, with a bunch of adults. There's just no need for it.
Well, it's always great at the end. We're like, oh, that's too bad that we have to leave now. Keep them wanting more is always a good way. Exactly.
How about you? What's your holiday plan?
We are hosting, which we traditionally do. We host most holidays. I love to cook. I love to have people in the house. It's also my son's birthday.
Ah.
So he's a Christmas baby. And ever since he was, you know, 4 or 5, it's always, I want that ice cream cake.
Yeah. Still
and,
have to do that.
And like his special meal. So we do that. And then we have relatives over. And this year, it's a rather small, there's like 10 people. They're all the people I love. So I've already started with that. They're amazing. And it's it ends up being great. And people, they're, you know, basically 2 to 6, 2 to 7. If it's going well, people stay and hang out by the fire and chat or play Cards Against Humanity.
It sounds like we both have a pretty nice setup going into this year. I'm sure there are a lot of our listeners who are dreading taking that trip to Uncle So-and-so's house or whatever. And I think my parting advice for those folks is at some point make a decision that you're not going to do something that you dread, right? I know that's very hard with family. I know it's hard to say, you know what, we're just not going there again this year. And, but I have done that. And a lot of people have done that with some family members. And sometimes it's a necessity. You know, if you're dreading going to something, take a step back and think, maybe next year I'm not going to do this, right? Maybe mm-hmm. next year I'm going to find a new tribe or find a new friend to spend that day with. Maybe it's just you and your kid, or maybe it's just, you know, maybe it's just you. You know, there are a lot of people who are spending the holidays alone, and there are a lot of people who wish they were spending the holidays alone. But, you know, think about next year as you go into this year, because maybe you're already locked in with plans and you've got airline tickets and you've already committed to going to so-and-so's house. But think about next year and think, maybe I won't have to do this next year. Maybe I don't want to do this next year, or I want to do something on my terms. And, you know, it's something to consider. And I'm glad you don't have that feeling of dread that I do hear from some of my other friends when it comes to the holidays. So whatever we can do to help those folks out. And I would also throw this out there. I joke about this, but it's actually not a joke. If anyone needs to have a quote unquote emergency business call anytime during that week between Christmas and New Year's, feel free to use me. Send me a message on LinkedIn, on Facebook, wherever, and let me know. I will be glad to be your emergency business call. Oh, wait, everybody, hold on. I got an emergency business call from my business colleague, Jack, and he really needs help with something. I'll be back in an hour. Feel free. I'm open to everyone for that.
You're like the Butterball hotline for people who need to get away from their relatives. You know, there's like a recipe to just get away from it. Yeah. And I will add, Jack, that we have a buddy system. Sometimes you just need somebody, sometimes you just need somebody to roll your eyes with. It's like, okay, here we go.
And maybe that buddy is 1,000 miles away.
I have to say, I've been in situations where I call on the spirits of those people that get me outside of the crazy family situation, and that always helps. I also have to say that one of the people, my sister and I are really close, and she's one of the people coming over. And so even when we're in some kind of a disagreement, it's pretty easy to get over. And, you know, luckily she is that person that we can roll eyes with, or, you know, she'll call me on my BS, or I can call her on hers, and, you know, all is fine. So yeah, find that person, find that safety valve, call Jack, reach out to him on LinkedIn, and
glad to serve.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays. Thank you so much for everything we've put together this year. I love these conversations, and I hope to keep it going in 2023.
If there's something that you'd like to hear to keep it going on Embark, please get in touch. Liz@embarkthepodcast.com. Like this episode? Share it with a friend. Tell a few people about it. And please subscribe. We know you have many choices during the week with what to do with your time. If you're spending that half hour with us, we thank you very much. Happy holidays. Happy New Year. See you next week.